Hi, I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones with Dr. Claudia Bernhard-Pacheco, and welcome once again to Healing Through Consciousness. You know, this morning I was reading the comments from a former president of the Radio and Television News Directors Association, who spoke about 10 years ago about radio psychology shows. And he told the New York Times way back then that good talk radio is done for the listener and not the caller. And that led me to thinking about our role on this program, because underlying this guy's comments, I think, was the attitude that radio shows, and by extension TV shows, were all about entertainment. After all, putting highly volatile people with differing points of view together on a talk show panel and fomenting their differences until the chairs started flying has been a staple of these talk-slash-entertainment shows for a long time now. Media is all about heat, not light. Well, that's the common wisdom. But actually, I, for one, think that we should redefine what it means to do a radio advice show, or any radio talk show for that matter, and that is to bring consciousness, to educate, to illuminate, if you will. And I really think that's what we want to try to accomplish on our program, Healing Through Consciousness. So, Claudia, welcome. We've been looking forward to this program after our technical glitches of last week. You know, I know there were some people standing by to actually ask us questions last week, and they couldn't, so I'd like to make sure that people know that we are available now for calls, and I want to just, at the outset of the show here, just give you the phone numbers that you can call. They're toll-free numbers, too. If you're calling from outside North America, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. If you're inside the United States, the number is 877-876-5227. Again, if you're inside the United States, 877-876-5227. And if you're calling worldwide, 888-815-9756. If you forget those numbers, you may not have a pen handy to write down, you can always get them from the website. The website where our program runs is at bbsradio.com. bbsradio.com. Just go to station one there, and you'll see all the phone numbers listed on the page there. And that's where you can also listen to the program or get your friends to listen. All the toll-free numbers are there, and everything's available. So you can talk to us, and you can ask questions, and we'd really like you to do that, because that's really what the show is all about. And our email line, and I have my email open now, so if you want to send email messages to us, if you're too shy to call, you can certainly do that, too. It's joneshealing@gmail.com, joneshealing@gmail.com. Well, Claudia, we've had a extra week to prepare, and I think it would be really great to get your thoughts about the program, what you want people to know about Dr. Kepi's science, right here at the beginning, as we're sort of warming up while we wait for a few people to call.
Yes. Richard, if it was your dream to accomplish this radio show, it was my dream too.
Okay.
It has always been my dream to accomplish a radio show, a talk show, where people would feel free to call in, to make their questions, and where we could give an advice that is sometimes the opposite of the advice people give in other talk shows. I'm not saying that the other talk shows are wrong or they're giving wrong advices, but we are giving another perspective, which is from within. It's another way of seeing the true deep cause of the problems, and it's mostly focused on the being. And I could name Dr. Kepi's psychoanalysis as mainly the psychoanalysis of the being. And this is very original. Kepi, we had his training not only in hospitals, where he worked and founded the psychosomatic department of the University of São Paulo, and he taught also in other universities in São Paulo, Brazil, But he went to Vienna, where he stayed studying, doing his training and working for 3 years with the main circles of psychoanalysis. There he studied Freud. He was introduced also to Melanie Klein's circle, deep psychology, and one of his main masters was Viktor Frankl, who was the creator of the existential school of psychoanalysis. And what was very important with Dr. Frankl's school was that Kepi was able there to develop his own thesis about psychoanalysis. He started his work and research with Frankl. And Frankl was very liberal. He was very open-minded. And contrary to Freud, he didn't work with the unconscious. He was more existentialist. Therefore, his ideas were more related to the responsibility of the being. The human beings should be more responsible for what they do and what they live and what they suffer. And not only that, but also perceiving that consciousness, or which he called more being responsible, mm-hmm. responsible for the meaning of your life. Giving a meaning for your life would be an important step for Frankl. So it was very philosophical. He was related to the existential school, Heidegger, Kierkegaard, Biswanger, which were the existentialists. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Kepi was able to start his own studies, and there he found the importance of consciousness in the psychological life. Opposing also to Freud, he didn't see the main cause of the psychological or social problems related to sexual complexes or sexual Oedipus complexes and in the unconscious. He was more perceiving that we have such an incredible gift, which is consciousness, which he also related to transcendence. Transcendence is a more philosophical and maybe even scientific way to see our spiritual life. So spirituality, not as an institutional point of view, was always related to Kepi's work.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting, Claudia, is that Frankl, I think, believed a lot in trying to find meaning in life, the search for meaning.
Yeah, the search for meaning was the name of his book.
But Kepi believes that meaning is already inherent in the being, right?
Yes, yes.
That we have consciousness, we have a sense of who we are already.
That life has its meaning.
Yeah.
And we should just adapt to it and to adapt to our own essence. And the meaning of life and the meaning of the existence of the essence is that being is good, beautiful, and truthful action. So we are energetic, vibrational beings, meant to live in beauty, truth, and goodness.
Yeah.
By origin. Let's say, by origin. And we are here to clarify what are the obstacles, what is impeding our lives to live fully the three elements. And by becoming more conscious of this, then we will be able to develop and have success.
Sure, because if we have this beautiful essence, then any problem we have is some sort of obstruction we're putting towards this essence of all of life.
And right.
This is the basis of Dr. Kepi's work, which I think we should continue in a moment. But I understand we have a caller waiting on the line, so I would really like to hear what they have to say. Maybe they have a specific question for us. Hi, who's calling, please?
Hi, Rich. This is Gloria, San Diego.
Hi, Lori in San Diego. Welcome.
Hello. Hi, Dr. Claudia.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
It's been a time of transition, and that's kind of my question is, I know that I work within myself daily for forgiveness, I had a lot of bad things happen, and a lot of them centered around my family, and I recently lost my grandfather, who was my last kind of shining star, the one male in my life that I've ever trusted. But what I've found lately is I carry my Bible a lot because I need that strength. And I'm seeing that as I'm becoming more truthful and as I'm becoming more accepting of truth, the people in my life are having a problem with that transition that I'm making, that I'm not letting them run random shot over me, so to speak, and that I'm taking care of myself more. And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, how is a way, rather than just excluding them from my life, I'm just kind of looking for ways to define who should be in my life and who shouldn't be in my life.
So, Lori, my impression is that your case is not uncommon. Everybody who undergo an energetic change, and by energetic change I mean psychoenergetic change, vibrational change, affects everybody who is around them. So normally we form a kind of energetic fields of thoughts, mentality, habits, values, attitudes, and we share this with our family members, with our friends, and this forms an energetic field. This psychoenergetic field is in so-called pseudo-balance. And when one of the members start raising his level, his vibrational level, because of the conscientization they undergo, they tend to break this pseudo-balance in this energetic field. Therefore, people around you, if they are as open as you to develop, they will tend to follow your steps, to be interested in what you do, and wanting to know more, understanding more, what is causing this change in your life, and they will appreciate that you are bringing more consciousness. But those who are not that open to consciousness, and you become like a bigger light in their lives, you will show them more things, and by mirroring things more, they will perceive even more problems in themselves. So, and this is good. This is good. This means when the light goes up or shine more, we see also more problems in order to fix them. But not everybody is ready to that improvement in life, Lori. So you will have to be able and to be ready to give up some pseudo-friendships that were more pacts, and look for new friendships that would be more in syntony with your new psychogenetic vibrations.
In resonance with that, you know, I think that's an interesting thing to talk about, Claudia, because... And Lori, maybe you have a follow-up question, but I just want to put a point to Claudia here in the middle of this, because I was watching an old interview, Claudia, that I did with you many years ago, you and Dr. Kepi, when I first came to Brazil. And in there, you talked about the fact that human beings don't generally gravitate towards people who are better than them.
Yeah.
That people tend to want to stay with people who are lesser or at the same level.
Yeah.
And this is a question of resonance here, isn't it?
Yes, because not everybody is ready to do analysis in terms that they would have more consciousness of their errors, of their inversions, of their problems. And Lori, she decided to do that. And by doing this, becoming more conscious, she will be... And like an agent, or I would say an angel also.
Yes. But she will, that too.
Yeah, but she will become an agent of consciousness in her environment, with her relationships.
I'm seeing some positive aspects of it. People that haven't been in my life for a while are coming back into my life and calling me when they have problems, because my general answer is that God has a plan and we have to trust it. Sometimes myself, I'm getting a little impatient waiting for him to reveal that plan to me. But Thank you very much. That was very helpful.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, nice
Thank
to hear
you.
From you, Lori. Thank you.
Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
This question of psychoenergetics, this is a field of discovery in Dr. Kepe's work that's really,
incredible.
Really fascinating.
It's incredible, yeah. Because understanding energetics, which is the name Kepe gave to the new physics, the study that he developed, understanding energetics, you can understand all the phenomena in the universe. And you cannot do science and study energetics without understanding metaphysics and the true metaphysics, disinverted metaphysics. Because I don't know if, the listeners may not know that the metaphysics is especially the study of the being. And when we speak about being, we speak about, of course, the Supreme Being. And Aristotle studied the Supreme Being, and the old Greeks studied God as a supreme being. And not only God, and the other beings too, spiritual beings, material beings, human beings, animals, plants, everything that is a being.
Yeah.
So when we study the old Greeks, we see that Aristotle made a mistake. He saw act or pure act coming from potential, like something that should develop to get to a perfection.
Right, it was nothing to begin with, or just a potential to be something, and then it becomes something over time.
Yes, so this gave chance to the evolutionists' ideas.
Yeah.
And also for us to think that when we are born, for instance, we have to become a being.
Right.
And in reality, we are, and studying physics and radionics now, the latest in science, the most modern science, shows that a being is a complete being since the beginning. And it just grows and develops. But it's not something that will have to be completed or formed. Or there is nothing missing in us.
Yeah.
We are a complete being.
And this is a complete difference from what we think, because we always hear we have to build our self-esteem.
Yeah.
We have to
study.
It's all that based on that we have nothing and we have to develop it over time.
Yeah.
This is Healing Through Consciousness. Just so you know, Richard Lloyd-Jones with Dr. Claudia Bernhard-Pacheco. And I think we have another caller waiting to ask a question. So. Hi, who's there?
Hi, this is Will from Edmonton, Canada.
Will from Edmonton, Canada. How's the weather there, Will?
It's warming up, so it's very pleasant.
Warming up is extremely relative in those terms, though, up there, isn't it?
Yes, hello, Will.
Hello. I have a question about addiction. Recently in the news, two girls have died in Alberta. One was 15 years old, one was 14 years old, and they took the street drug, ecstasy. This is a very common drug in our community. Alberta and Edmonton in particular is known as the ecstasy capital of Canada. So I'm just really curious, what's at the root of addiction?
Well, that's a great question.
Wow, Will.
We only have 45 minutes left.
It's a treaty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a treatise.
Well, the root of addiction has, we have many perspectives to understand a problem of addiction. It's a very complicated one because it requires an attitude of dependence, and dependence on something to feel better. So when you think that you depend on something to feel better, you start from the point that all the good, happiness, well-being, good things, freedom, relaxation comes from external things. That this is not something, that it is a result of an inner attitude of your being. So you look for something outside. You depend on the good that you see coming from outside. Now, if we perceive that this expansion of, because all drugs give a sensation of expansion of the being, or sometimes a expansion of consciousness, sometimes a decrease of inner tension, a decrease in censorship, a more freedom to live your being. And this is artificial. Now, the desire to have a better life and to be freer and to use better your talents is very genuine. It belongs to the being. We are born to be free, to good, to do beautiful things, to live in happiness. This is in the American Constitution, by the way. So it's the universal right of every human being. But why we are so unhappy? And then comes a definition, which is very short, solid, but that Kepi gives, but it's very, you can expand this a lot.
All embracing in a way, right? It like covers many things.
So what is the being, or what is the reason we are neurotic, unhappy, sick? Kepi sees the neurosis, the psychosis, and the cause of all these insatisfactions and suffering as a result of an attitude. Attitude. And when I say attitude, pay attention, is not something that is instinctive, as Freud mentioned. It's not coming by nature. It's not mandatory. It's an attitude. It's something that you can change if you become more conscious of this. So neurosis is an attitude of denying, omitting, or misrepresenting the true reality, the true being, which is beautiful, truthful, and good. So this is a phrase, and this phrase must be understood and applied. This is like a universal concept and must be applied to our everyday life. So you come and you say, okay, I'm a beautiful, truthful being by nature, but why do I have this attitude that I deny to myself, I omit, I attack my being? And why society does not simplify or does not facilitate this kind of life? So here comes a big and huge explanation that we must, I don't know, Richard, if we enter in this thing of the inversion.
I have a question that may lead us that way first, though, Claudia, because we have to treat the question of the society, the inversions in society, and inversion is fundamental to Dr. Kepi's work.
And I would like just to mention to Will,
yes.
Our insatisfactions are coming mostly from inside of us, from our inverted attitudes against our beings and our lives. But there is also this sensation, which is horrible, coming from the pseudo-society, the way this sick, ill society is organized. So we don't live the life we should be living.
And we don't feel good in this society.
No, and it would be impossible to say that we live in a happy society.
I want to leave Will a little space because he may have a follow-up question, but I wanted to mention first, Claudia, the incredible study that Dr. Kepi has done about the human will.
Mm-hmm.
In his book, Liberation from the Will, which means to liberate ourselves from our free will. That's what he discusses in this book, which is completely revolutionary in Kepi's work. He talked about the fact that the human being has desires against this true nature that we have, and that may be something that leads to this question of addiction or part of it, right?
Yeah, this desires Freud called the Thanatos complex, which would be the complex of death or the death instinct.
Right.
And also some complexes related to sexual
repressions
and traumas,
right.
But this is a deviation of the, we are not just a bunch of instincts. We are much more than that. So happiness or well-being, the mental, psychological well-being is much more related to our inner psychological life and spiritual life, which is transcendental, by the way. So how come we should, if we would be just accomplishing a good sex and being healthy, this would be very simple. We would be all, everybody would be much more balanced nowadays,
right,
with the freedom of sex.
Yeah.
And we don't see that. We see in every five people in the world, one is at least, no, in each four people.
Out of every four people in the world.
Yeah. At least one is mentally sick, heavily mentally sick.
Right.
So we see more than 1 billion people suffering from severe illnesses, mental illnesses.
Yeah.
And this we speak about post-Freudian era.
Right. So?
So?
Post-sexual
freedom.
We didn't
meet the point.
Right. Will, was there a follow-up question or any other observation you wanted to make while we got you on the line?
Yes, just a quick question. In this particular case, I'm speaking of in Edmonton where a 15-year-old and a 14-year-old girl died. Obviously, somebody sold them the drugs, and it was probably another young person. And we see this very commonly everywhere around the world, young people dealing drugs to young people. How does society deal with the drug dealer, who is also a victim of inversion? How do we properly address this without making it worse?
Yeah. So I see this in a two steps kind of thing, Will. One is the social problem, socioeconomic or socioeconomic problem. We see these drug cartels being organized, intentionally being organized to serve some powerful millionaires. And in this process, we even see the full involvement of banks, bankers, judges, policemen, and not only
customers officials.
We don't see this in just in a low level ranking, but also big high ranking of this kind of thing. So I agree with some people that understand that if they would legalize drugs as they did with alcohol, they would make people see where are those drug dealers, who are they, and they would not be able anymore to take profit from this criminal aspect. As long as they keep it as a crime and as illegal, this will even push people, make it stronger,
stimulate
all the process, and so they don't pay taxes, and this creates an environment of crime and violence, and the real responsible are hidden behind the curtains. So this is a big challenge, to legalize drugs as a first step, and then to address the problem. Address it also in two levels. One level would be the social understanding of the problem, which would create the bankruptcy of many banks. Big banks would go bankrupt if they would stop laundering money, which are billions of dollars every year, or trillions of dollars being laundered. And so we would see this falling apart. And not only that, but we should then address in every place, every community, all communities, homes, family, medias, schools, hospitals, to understand that if you take drugs, you're not benefiting yourself. You are destroying your brain, and this gives pleasure to the person. It's really difficult for a person to admit that. But this idea that taking drugs is something against society gives pleasure to many young people. But in reality, they are not going against the rulers of society. They are feeding the rulers of society, because they are becoming, they are numbing their consciousness. They are becoming easy puppets for them, because you stop thinking, you lose your intelligence, you don't question anymore, so you become an easy puppet, and also you give money to them, so you are a slave many times. If you take drugs, you lose your freedom, totally lose your freedom.
Thinking that you're making a big personal statement away from the society,
yeah.
You're actually contributing to the sickest people.
Yes, and you are like becoming a slave of them, even a bigger slave.
Just to illustrate this, Claudia, I remember a statistic from Catherine Austin Fitz from the Solari Institute, I think it's called, United States. She worked for the Department of Housing, I think, in the United States for many years. She quoted Department of Justice statistics, saying that illegal crime profits that are laundered through the U.S. banking system per year, this is at least 10 years ago I heard this, is $500 billion to $1 trillion per year. Of illegal crime profits. A large part of that, of course, is drugs. And so we have an enormous social problem that's not only the fault of the people who are addicted, but also of the whole power structures of our planet who are stimulating this in direct ways because they make a lot of money. There's a big profit margin, and you're dealing with heroin and cocaine.
Big, huge profits. If you, when I was in France, the barrel of petrol was still $8.
Whoa.
and this was in 91, 92. So the heroin, coming from the Middle East and Asia, the gram cost around $300.
Good heavens.
The gram.
Yeah.
So imagine a barrel compared to a gram.
No, it's
so it's unbelievable how more expensive and profitable drugs are. And you speak about tons
of
drugs.
Oh, good heavens.
Tons of
drugs being
trafficked.
Yeah. Well, we have an enormous subject to enter into in that area, and I think we should do that as we move through our program. But it might be good to come back a little bit, Claudia, to
our psychological inner self.
Our psychological inner self.
Because we have a tool which is the biggest weapon to defend ourselves from all these pathologies in society, which is our consciousness.
Yeah. You said recently in one of the TV programs, I was watching this with my students the other day, and it really stood out to me. You said that, by the way, Dr. Claudia Bernhard-Pacheco and Dr. Kepi do a television program that runs in all sorts of countries around the world. And you can find information on all of that kind of activity that's happening here from our center in São Paulo, Brazil.
In our site. We have many TV shows posted in our site.
So I want to just direct you to our portal site, which has links to bookstores, to the Stop the Destruction of the World Association, to our podcast, to our television programs. All of these kinds of things are available on our portal site at www.trilogia.ws. Trilogia.ws. But in this TV program that I was watching with my students, Claudia, you mentioned something that we will never truly be able to cure our illnesses, whether they're physical or mental or even social, if we don't interiorize, as you talked about it, if we don't bring the problems of the world into ourselves to see what's going on inside us that is creating that external problem or how we are relating to that external problem in some way. So let's define that for people. What do you mean by this analytical trilogy concept of interiorization? How do we understand
it? Well, we can understand it even better through this concept of resonance and energetics. If you see something outside of you, this could be a problem in society, a problem in another person, this may create a kind of or any emotion in myself. This emotion can be a positive emotion. I can feel happy, I can identify, I can vibrate in a positive way, or I can be afraid, I can become irritated, angry, And all this is like a chance to know myself better. Because all elements of the external life are related to our inner life. Normally we don't think we even have an inner life. When I first heard this from Kepi, when I started my analysis with him a long time ago, by the way, he mentioned something about my inner life. So I wonder, what is this about, an inner life? So nobody spoke about inner life at that time. And I guess many people still don't speak about it. So we do have an inner life, but we are not conscious of this. What is an inner life? It's everything we feel, we think, we desire, our values, our thoughts, our feelings, our premonitions, our intuitions, our consciousness, our responsibility, ethics, sense of harmony, aesthetics. We have the whole universal concepts inside of us. So we have all the truth, potentially, if we can say that, inside of us in order to be able to recognize what we see outside. So all the process of learning something, a child doesn't need to be taught about everything in order to recognize the world. So you don't start teaching grammar to a child. And when you say, well, this is a dog, or this is an, or I'm angry, or I'm happy, babies, they recognize, they resonate. And each concept we have in us, each idea, it's a kind of resonance that we do with something or someone else outside of us. So we recognize things. If I see a bird flying, this concept of a bird flying has an inner correspondent inside of myself, which resonates. This concept resonates with what I see outside. And this resonance, this like getting in tune mentally, innerly getting in tune with what I see outside, if this tune is harmonic, I can say that I know and I understand what I see.
It's like you recognize in some way.
Yeah, somehow I experiment, I recognize knowledge of things. So, but if I have an emotion like envy, like anger, like censorship, in this process of resonance recognition, there will be an obstacle. So if I see a beautiful person inside and outside, a good person, and if I have this envy, unconscious envy, this will impede the full resonance to happen, and this idea, this concept, will be deformed. I will think wrong things about that person. I will not see that person as good, beautiful anymore. I will deform the thought and see him or she as bad, as dangerous, and paranoia is related to that, deformation.
So we, in a way, Dr. Kepi's work is creating a true psychology, not to see the problem of the human being as something to do with brain chemicals or some behavioral problem from the past or some societal imposition, but a real true psychology. My world is how I see my world is a reflection of how I am.
Yes, exactly. So if I look at the world and I only see negativity, so there is this problem of envy and inversion blocking the true recognition of life, of creation, of how things really are, what is wrong in a situation, what is truly wrong in a place, for instance, that sometimes you feel something that is not right, but you cannot identify. So you don't have your consciousness really in tune with reality. Mm-hmm. It's being blocked by your unconscious emotions.
Yeah. Again, the premise of Dr. Kepi's work is that the human being is, at his basis, healthy. Now, good, beautiful, true is the essence of the human being. So any problem we have, physical, psychological, emotional, even social, is some sort of distortion of that essential nature.
And I'll give you an example, very practical. Generally, couples, when they get married, they think they know each other.
Yes.
And after some time...
3 months.
They say, I don't know you anymore. I don't recognize you. You're not the person I got married
with. Have you always been leaving your underwear on the floor like that? I never noticed that before, suddenly.
So, what happens is that sometimes we idealize our partner, our husband or wife. We idealize and we imagine that person. We fantasize a person in accordance to what I would like him or she to be. Or I can develop a process of envy and start blaming that person for all my insatisfactions, all the negativity I have inside of myself that makes me feel uncomfortable, that makes me feel frustrated. I blame the other person for that discomfort. And this is projection. I'm projecting onto the other person my inner elements that I'm not conscious of in myself. And analysis is all about becoming more consciousness and aware of my inner life. And the technique is the interiorization. And we can give in this program during the call examples of how you can learn a little bit, at least in the beginning, to interiorize yourself and to know how to better use the external world and other people to know better yourself.
I can try to give an example. It's kind of a simple example, Claudia, a practical one, I hope. I was driving, when I first came to Brazil, I was driving with a friend to the opera.
Mm-hmm.
On a Sunday, and we were in typical Brazilian fashion. We were a little bit late, and we got behind a Sunday driver. And you know, when you're going to the opera, you can't be late. They don't let you in until there's a break in the action. Could be for like an hour before you can get in. So we were under some pressure, and we got behind a Sunday driver. Everybody knows this experience. The person's whistling, looking in the air, not paying attention to their driving, and we're both starting to feel the pressure. I noticed my friend who was driving, his fingernails were starting to beat on the steering wheel. He started to feel the pressure. And then suddenly he stopped and he said, ah, I know what's irritating me. I'm perceiving somehow that I'm blocking myself in my life. I don't go forward in my life. I'm stopping myself somehow. I'm perceiving that this is what I do in my life. And he perceived all that through the experience he was having of frustration with this slow driver in front of him. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this, for me, when I was new here, this was like, wow, how can you be so intelligent or so stable as to be able to see that? To me, it was just a terrible driver, you know? So there was something very beautiful in that example.
Yeah, because you can react in a more or less in two ways. One is to be patient, understand the process and the problem, and wait for your time, your turn.
Yeah.
And another one is to get angry, to get nervous, and to feel identified with the situation. So this person didn't like to see, normally in his life, not only in that instance, but in all instances where and when he blocked himself from moving forward.
Yeah.
He should be probably a very censored and very rigid person.
And maybe a person with a lot of potential, quote unquote, not realizing the potential that he feels he has. That's a possibility too, isn't it? We are healing through consciousness. I want to give you the phone numbers once again if you're listening and thinking, boy, it would be great to talk with Dr. Claudia Bernhard-Pacheco about any problem you have. I have another one from email that I received, Claudia, I'd like to bring up with you.
Good.
But let me just give you the phone numbers again. If you're calling from outside the continental United States, the number toll-free is 888.
And if they don't want to identify themselves, there's
fine.
No problem.
Sure, exactly. Outside continental United States, toll-free, 888-815-9756. Inside the United States, toll-free again, 877-876-5227. I'm giving a lot of phone numbers here. It sounds like we're like a laundry list of phone numbers. You can also get that on the website where our radio program is being broadcast, the great people at bbsradio.com. Just go to Radio 1, click on the button in the left-hand corner, and you'll be able to see the Listen Now button where you can listen to the program, and also where you can see all the telephone numbers that you want to call. Claudia, a woman wrote to me a number of months ago from a podcast that I produced that you were participating in, this particular podcast, and she said, Richard, here's a topic I'd love you to consider in your radio program. What is it about human beings that keeps us from saying what we really mean? What are we protecting, and at what cost? What would happen if we really did speak our mind? And do we not speak our mind because we're on autopilot, meaning that we're being if we were being mindful, would we say what we really mean? Or do we avoid saying what we really mean because our conscious mind is protecting us from some perceived danger? Well, there's 10 or 15 questions in that email. But you could talk a little bit about that, our relationship with the truth as human beings, about speaking what we really think.
You know, Richard, it seems that one of the biggest problems and the biggest inversions we have is about truth. And when I give some lectures, people right away stand up and say, how come? Who are you to speak about the truth?
Yeah, right.
Who knows about the truth? And so I have my truth, you have your truth, everybody has one's truth. And then I would ask, do you know what a lie means? Do you feel good? Do you accept when you perceive that people are lying to you? Do you like it? So they say, no, sure not, of course not. So if you know what a lie means, and if you don't like to be deceived, why do you come with this question that there is not such a thing as truth? Everybody knows the truth and what a truth is. The truth is what it is. Truth is reality.
It's not the not truth, right? I mean, if you have a choice of things to do, you have, or a choice of things to say, you know the correct thing, the truth, and you also know many incorrect things you can
say.
Yes,
yes.
But the correct thing to say, the right thing to say, the truth, is one thing. It's not a thousand things.
Yes. Sometimes it gets a little difficult for the person to distinguish what is really the truth inside of themselves. And this is normal, even in society, because we have been distorting so much the truth. But this doesn't mean that there is not such a thing. We have just to start paying attention to see how much we deceive ourselves about the truth. And even when people lie to us, we could not say that they are lying to me, they deceived me, but I deceived myself and didn't see the lie that the other person was telling me. And energetically speaking, we should have means to understand this, because even animals understand this. Plants understand this. So we cannot deceive plants. They respond to your energies right away. If you have a good energy, loving energy, they will respond it. The same thing animals. They recognize and children
babies,
do that.
Ooh,
babies.
Yeah.
Now, after some time, we start this representing, like performing a role in society. So we get more further and further apart from our inner truth, which is universal, harmonic. So truth is something that we see as harmful. If I say the truth, I'll be punished.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say the truth, if I say a truth that will reveal a problem even more, I will punish myself or other people will punish me. It's not acceptable to see or to perceive, to have consciousness of problems. Society developed an idea that problems should be corrected, should be fixed, should be improved, and if not, should be hidden.
Yeah.
So,
well, in fact, we should hide them first before we even try to improve them. Right?
Yes. So therefore, we don't live in a tolerant society in terms of conscientizing, becoming conscious of problems. Mm. If your child does a mistake, you should better tell the reason for that error, or that they should pay attention to that error and to accept to see the error, because the consciousness, the truth about a problem is good in itself. But we don't see that way.
No, we
so
don't.
So people, if you go to a court, if you confess a crime, you go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a clever lawyer, you are free. So you start training yourself since you are a young child to better deceive other people and society. Otherwise, you get...
Yeah, you get... Okay, the F word, all right.
Yeah, so...
It's always funny when you say that word, by the way. But
so I didn't say it.
No, but I heard it. Anyway.
Okay. Did you?
No, I vibrated through the
Okay. But in society, it's impossible to say the truth, almost impossible.
Yeah.
And very few honest and ethical men did tell the truth. Just one man did tell the whole truth, which was Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other prophets and some idealistic men, a few heroes did that, and they paid their price in society, which is a society that does not accept to live with consciousness of the truth. And this means we will never be able to have a good, balanced society if we don't start accepting and recognizing the consciousness of our pathologies.
Yes.
Our pathology and other people's pathologies. And speaking about drugs, about whatever crime we commit and people commit, we should treat this as a sickness, even more than a crime.
Right. That somehow somebody is distorted away from the truth of themselves, and that needs to be seen. You know, you're right about this, Claudia. We have such a resistance to see, to really see the mistakes that we make. We want to create excuses, or we want to avoid, we want to run away, or we think, well, hey, nobody's looking, so, you know, I'm pretty much free to do what I want.
And you know, this sensation of being persecuted by consciousness, that we feel, so this creates an enormous stress, and this is a source of illness. So if you start being more tolerant and censoring less your mistakes and your problems, you get healed of 90% of your diseases, if not 100%.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, incredible.
Because stress is the thing that lowers our immune system substantially. So if we're trying to, you know, because I see this all the time, I see people who, they get furious with people who in Brazil who cut in front of them in traffic, which happens a lot here. They get furious with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they would love to do the same thing, but they feel they can't because they're
They do this. They do this in life. And they do a competition. They want always to be in the top of everybody.
Everybody in front of everybody else. It's incredible.
Yeah. So healing is a matter of healing through consciousness.
Yeah.
So by conscientizing or by becoming conscious of our pathologies and social pathologies, we can heal ourselves.
It's a beautiful, beautiful science to work with, Dr. Claudia Bernhard-Pacheco. Thank you so much for being here. It's a tremendous pleasure to do this program. Our program is called Healing Through Consciousness. You can get downloads of the program either on our BBS radio site, where we're broadcasting from, or through our healingthroughconsciousness.com site. Okay, that's very, very wonderful. And look, if you were listening to the program, you had a question, you had an idea you'd like us to explore more, you can always shoot me an email anytime you like, joneshealing@gmail.com. Special email just for this.
And we are very confidential.
Totally confidential.
Yeah.
This is a professional radio program.
Yeah.
So Healing Through Consciousness will return next week. Thank you so much. A great pleasure, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You are melting down. Tadinho.
I'm hot.
Tadinho.